Hey Fadies, this is Fate of Ice in Chapter 3, Episode 25. Thanks for listening, I'm DM Brad, and this is what happened last time. Banfor, Marley, and Ellerin ventured through a portal and came face to face with Sorgamul, the God of Death. Sorgamul thanked the adventurers for returning the Death Heart to its resting place and restoring her connection to the material realm. After a strange and socially awkward meeting, Sorgamul rewarded the heroes with powerful gifts. They then stepped back through the portal and found themselves back in their bodies in the Killing Grounds.
I had a new listener for the podcast hit me up on Twitter saying that she is a huge fan of Marley as of episode, I think it was 6 or 7, when you guys first fought the zombies under Dapton.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and crap, that's a long time ago.
She loved how you spent the whole fight nagging the dwarf one to death. and she thought that was hysterically funny. So
I hardly ever use that spell. I really should use it more. Yeah.
It's because it's a low level.
Yeah.
It's a low level spell. Okay, so this is chapter 3, episode... I can't even talk. This is chapter 3, episode 25 of The Fate of Ison. We are well into this chapter, and let's crack into it. So last time you guys had a little encounter with an entity. Who wants to tell me who that was?
Sorgamul.
Yeah, boy, it was. It was Sorgamul, the God of Death. She gave
I just liked how, really stoked you were that you had the answer. Sorry, to laugh.
He's nowhere near as stoked that he had the answer as I am stoked that he had the answer. Sorgamul bestowed upon you some pretty sweet goodies, including a game-breaking tool to teleport to basically anywhere you've been in your entire lives.
And kill anything.
And between the three of you, Marley having grown up in the west, Banfor having grown up in the north, and Ellerin having explored the east, you can pretty much cover the world between you.
That's
notably absent the south. Bunch of virgins.
Southside represent.
The south is going to play. Oh, actually, and Marley went to the south via one of Dreyfus' portals as well. So there you go.
Well, to the Brute Wall anyway, so I can go there.
Yeah. To the very, very, very far south. To the end of the world south. Cool. And after meeting with Sorgamul, you returned to your bodies in the Killing Grounds. Ellerin and his group had just finished fighting a giant spider at the time that he experienced his vision, and only like 1 second passed. In the rocky section of the arena, and Banfor, Marley, and Kai returned to your bodies in the Dark Forest after the Hellhound ordeal. Mm-hmm. And we're going to jump straight into Kai, who just got revived by one of Banfor's potions. And she says, oh, And then she notices like the scorched area and the 4 dead Hellhounds and all the like magma blood everywhere. And she goes, wait, you killed them all?
Hopefully.
We think.
And then she notices the dead wolf. She says, I think it's about time that we get out of this forest.
So the Death Heart thing's done. So we just need to get to killing, really. And get this round finished off.
Pretty much, yeah. You don't have any agenda. You personally, Banfor, have no more agenda beyond just like racking up points. Marley still, I don't know how much she told you about wanting to kill or being recruited to kill Gilliff.
Not a huge amount.
No, I'm pretty sure I told him a little bit, but not the whole story. We were a little busy, you know?
Yeah.
By the time I met him again. Okay. So, Marley would be slightly distracted with Hodge again, seeing as Hodge is right there. And probably just be crouching down by Hodge as we prepare to go, I assume.
And Hodge is dead.
Oh, Hodge is super dead. He took double his hit points, which is like instant death. There's no.
So he's like not like sexy dead.
Not like sexy dead? Are we talking like vampires? Like,
it's not like, oh no, look at me in a quiet repose of like, oh death, what sweet sleep doth creep over me. He's like shit himself, torn up to bits.
I'm pretty sure.
Roadkill.
Did he get set on fire? Was that a fire breath?
Yeah, he did.
He's probably singed in charcoal and.
Looks
yeah.
like chupacabra. Yeah.
It's not great. Yeah.
Am I missing something pretty huge? I don't know what any of this is.
Marley had an animal companion that was a wolf called Hodge. And the inciting event that shed enough blood for all of you to be able to activate the Death Heart was that Hodge died in battle.
In the most delightful way.
So Marley's a little sad about his sacrifice.
But Ellerin wasn't any of that.
Ellerin's completely separate. He's just doing his own thing in the Killing Grounds.
He just had had a stroke, essentially.
The way that looked for Ellerin was basically he was fighting a giant spider with his mates. He just finished, and then suddenly in his head he's seeing this vision and then appearing in a strange place.
And now he's back.
It's like, whoa, what the shit was that?
Is he still off with his mates, or is he with us now?
Nah, he's with his mates.
Off with his mates.
Okay, cool.
So when he sees us, he'll only recognize us from his quote-unquote
Killing Grounds.
He'll recognize you guys, or he'll recognize Marley for sure. He might recognize Banfor. You're still in your tiefling disguise, but due to the fact that you fought a plesiosaurus in the lake, and you've been burned by hellhounds, and you've had like lots of fights, your costume is pretty fucked. It's very obvious that you're not actually a tiefling. Like, people can't see exactly what you look like, but it's obvious that you're not a tiefling.
So. Okay. So it's just a bit patchy and a bit fucked.
Yep.
Interesting. Banfor makes a turn based on the way that I remember the map towards the center area.
Okay.
Like the center plane.
Do we have to go through the forest to do that?
Well, you're already in the middle of the forest. I mean, you just have to leave the forest.
I suppose, yeah, that does make sense.
Okay. Yeah. So if that's what you guys are doing.
Marley's following?
Yeah, Marley just wanted to take a moment to thank Hodge for protecting them. You know, like, because essentially that's what Hodge did. He tried to take on someone much bigger than him, knowing he could never make it out. So, you know, she just takes a moment to basically thank him. And then stands up and follows.
Cool, and Ellerin, you notice that, so your two companions, they gesture, like, come on, for you to head towards the center as well. Like, you get the impression that they're aware that it's time's up, like the event's about to finish.
Okay, yeah, I just kind of slouch my crossbow at my side and followed along, head down, slightly confused.
So Banfor and Marley leave the forest, and you notice that all the other fighters of the event are all converging on the same spot in the center, as if there's been some kind of bell or alarm sound or something that you didn't hear.
Okay.
Banfor head towards the group with a nonchalant swing of his axe sword.
Okay, so yeah, in gathering is Ellerin and his two friends, and there's another group of two. They were a trio, but one of them died. And it's you guys and Kai, who just followed along just silently. She's been through quite an ordeal, and she just wants it to be over with.
Marley's following pretty silently too. She's got her crossbow, like her hand crossbow, still out and in her hand, and she's sort of tapping the saxophone that she's got hanging at her side right now and being like, this is interesting and needs some thought. Like, just walking along pretty silently.
Yep. There's sort of like a feeling amongst all the gathered warriors of, you know, you see them like dropping their weapons on the ground and shaking their shoulders, and, you know, sort of like the post-match warm down, like, oh, we did it, like, it's over, you know, like that sort of feeling of a job well done.
Based on everyone's demeanor, I assume it would be a dick move to start murdering people.
It would be, but I won't stop you if that's where you're going with this.
Bamful does not murder people.
Nice, okay. Good call.
He's tired. He's possibly strained a hammy. And frankly, he could do with a bit of a stretch.
Okay. Ellerin, having seen these two approaching, who are vaguely familiar, where do you know them from? What do you do?
Scratch my head. I'm kind of in a daze given everything that's been through, and I feel like I've gone through some sort of large hallucinogenic phase. So I just kind of get my bearings again, look around. I just watch them approach.
Okay, and you two would recognize Ellerin as well.
Banfor waves.
Ellerin kind of half waves back at Banfor and then points at Marley and says, "You, the girl from my visions."
Hello, I'm the girl of your dreams.
Certainly one interpretation of it.
And
in a very literal way.
Banfor leans in and goes, "Hello, it is also I."
I have got some sort of recollection of an horrific event involving the skull of a beast.
Yeah, that was
Banfor
him.
Banfor unzips his pants or unbuttons his pants and pops out the last, the still crackling with one charge lightning fell eye.
Put it away,
it's all
Banfor.
Coming back to me now.
The other warrior's like...
stuffs it back down into his pants, but you can see the outline of it bulging against his leather shorts.
When you got it out, the other warriors sort of jumped back in surprise at you suddenly revealing a weapon in your crotch.
Well, it's not the first time.
It's a weapon, all right, yeah.
You guys just think, yeah. Because
it's all calloused up, you know. So.
There is the sound, the undeniable sound of a portal opening. And
ooga, ooga. Oh, angry goose noises.
Honk, honk. A large oval portal appears, rippling purple in colour, and stepping out of it is Empress Tarjana in a fine, shimmering purple gown, a similar colour to the portal, with a very long train. Like, this is a, I'm look at me, I'm such a big deal kind of gown. Like, this is a... Met Gala sort of like going all out kind of gown, and walking behind her is Marley will recognize a man.
Relatable.
The NZ on Air TV Awards. I've lost you. Don't worry. It was a pointless cut off. Look, I thought I had something better, but I've cut the scene off right there. It's one of those moments where I'm very aware that. I haven't helped the flow of the conversation, nor have I helped the story. But look, I thought I had something fun to contribute, so I went in. So, nope. You know, I won't apologize for that.
And that's the end of the episode.
That's every episode.
Behind the Empress is a man that Marley will recognize as General Porton. The person who's been put in charge as the regent of the former Kingdom of Brust. He's a tall, well-built gentleman in a very formal black and gold like officer's uniform. Trailing behind him is the halfling former queen, Queen Tirith Shan, whom Marley will also recognize. And she's a very disheveled looking halfling woman in basically wearing rags. And also with them is a very tall human man in like full plate armor with a helm that covers his face. And he just stands silently as they all exit the portal, and then Drafer, the young boy, steps out as well, and then the portal closes.
Has Ellerin ever seen anything like this before, Brad?
You might have seen General Porton. He attends events at the Killing Grounds and things. You've probably never seen the Empress, and you've probably... Oh, and you might recognize the tall armored guy as the champion.
I'm more wondering if he's seen portals opening out of nowhere and people stepping out of them. Is this commonplace?
A portal did open earlier for Marley to step out of.
Mm.
But you might not have seen it while you were fighting spiders and stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
Also, we stepped through a portal from this bone skeleton to go talk to Sorgamol, didn't we? So.
Yeah.
You've been through one.
I'm more, you know, in this kind of, I must be hallucinating state. Prior to this, in his normal life, would he have seen?
Probably not.
Okay.
And the Empress, like, she walks over, like, strides over to the young boy, who Marley knows as Drafer. And the long train of her gown just dragging in the dirt, but she doesn't seem to care. And she leans down and whispers something to him. Does anyone want to try and hear what it is?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, roll perception.
Not great.
I'm excited to perceive this.
It's 10. Only a 9.
9. Also, because I have minus. Okay.
Ellerin, do you want to try and hear what she's saying?
No, I don't actually. At this point, he's still so kind of confused and coming to terms with what's happening. The last thing he'd be thinking about is like, oh, I better listen in on this.
Okay. A bit of eavesdrop. Maybe he's cool. Just polite, so, Brad.
Yeah, she leans down and whispers something to him, and he just nods and then gets this sort of like vacant look on his face. And then she turns to Banfor and Marley, or she turns to Marley primarily, but Banfor is standing near enough to her that she just says, Marley, dear, it's time, and I believe I should probably address the people before we go about this business, lest they be confused.
You have promises to keep me.
Yes, yes, all in due time. Mm-hmm. And then she sort of looks at all the other fighters who aren't, like, the two of you, and I'll make, Ellerin can make a judgment call here. She sort of just, like, lazily gestures her hand for, like, the rest of you to, like, shoo. Just like, go, like, run along. This doesn't concern you.
Banfor goes nowhere.
Yeah, Kai, like, packs up her axe and just goes like, I'm out of here. I don't want to be here one moment longer.
Banfor catches her by the collar and keeps her with.
That poor woman lit it.
What do you mean?
I just like to say,
15 extra wounds.
That means I'm not the only one who apparently kidnaps people.
I have not kidnapped her. I have shanghaied her. It is completely different.
Okay, make a... let's see. Yeah, I guess make a grapple, and she's going to try and make a dex, or make an acrobatics to
the
avoid it.
Versus acrobatics?
Yeah.
Okay, well, it's not good. It's a 10.
Oh, yes! 19. You, like,
if I
reach...
roll above a 15 on a d20, can I keep her coat?
She's wearing armor, not a coat.
Pass, then. That was my decision, not yours.
She, like, slips free of your attempt, and she goes, fuck off, man, for not this time. And she, like, bolts. She's gone.
You're a coward.
And the other fighters, Scarpa as well. Ellerin, do you follow all the other fighters, or do you stick with these two people that you've got some kind of connection with?
All right, Ellerin, his eyes narrow. He stands his ground, and he pulls out his dagger and kind of starts to twirl it in his hand, non-threateningly.
Nice. I like that. Just kind of showing, like, oh, yeah, no, I think I should be a part of this. I'm not phased. And
seeing that he's staying, I just shoot him a look.
Yeah.
And I'm like, whatever happens next, don't stop me.
Do you say that to him or message it to him?
I say it to him, but quietly, because I assume he's with us now.
Yeah, I'd say you guys probably sidled up together.
Yeah, so I just kind of sort of side sort of say it to him, whatever happens, you know, like that.
Yeah.
Ellerin just nods.
The Empress says to Drafer, Drafer, dear, and then just makes a gesture for displaying, like, the scale of the arena sort of thing, and he just goes, yes, Empress, of course, yes. And then he does little, like, something gesture with his hand, like some kind of magic. And then she booms out in this, like, huge amplified voice through the whole arena. She just yells, Citizens of Stonemaw! Ownmaw! We're back to that. The final event of the day is much bigger than you could possibly have anticipated.
Hated.
The main event will begin shortly with the champion and some guests. And she gestures to the three people who decided to stay.
Marley waves a crossbow.
Facing off against something truly memorable. But before we get to that, you have no doubt heard rumors of a group of terrorists, a resistance they call themselves, rising in Airedale these past months. I am here to tell you the rumors are true, and then there's just this chorus of boo, and you know, things like long live the Empire, yeah! And it goes on for ages, and it sort of devolves into this really sloppy version of the anthem where like pockets of people like started like and just like peters out because it's not committed.
Someone's trying to do a tsunami wave, trying to get it going.
Yeah, so this goes on for like at least 60 seconds of just the crowd booing the idea of a resistance big time. But you do notice that there are pockets of people in the crowd who aren't joining that chorus. Like, there are big areas, and it flashes through your mind that, like, oh yeah, we had Jareen and the poison tip and the gloves and all that dispersed. We got them to get tickets to disperse amongst this crowd.
Can I look at Queen Shan while the Empress is saying all of this to see if she knows what's about to happen, or if this is, like, shock on her face, or...
You can certainly look at her. You could probably message her if you wanted to.
Yeah, so I probably want to be like, yeah, to just sort of let her know, don't freak out. I made a deal with the Empress.
She shoots back, what kind of deal?
And I shoot back, she dies, I do it.
You get nothing back, just a shocked look on her face.
Yeah, and I'm like, prepare yourself, Queen Shan.
Yeah, she nods.
Bamfor starts flashing gang signs to the audience, which equate to now, fucking do it now, let's go.
I like it.
To the waiting drugged up cultists.
Yeah, so you...
Where's your mice? I really wish Hodge had been with my mice.
Does he also notice any mice bestride other beasts?
No, because I've written something that's happening with them, but not inside the killing grounds.
Amazing.
There are other things going
on. And I cannot wait.
And there is also... So you two are members of the resistance. The news of this resistance and being true and that sort of thing is nothing new to you. But Ellerin, what do you think? Do you think you would have heard of this resistance, and would it surprise you to learn that it's like on your doorstep?
No, not really. As you know, Bradley, Ellerin has spent his life mostly as a mercenary or fighting for different armies, so he's pretty well versed in like the resistance. He has no opinion here or there. He's not pro-resistance or anti-resistance.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Cool. So the booing of the crowd dies down as the Empress sort of like waves for her hands for them to stop, and cause everything that you guys are doing in the middle is being amplified. Sorry, not amplified. Projected onto the big orb that's hanging in the sky above the arena as well. So like everyone gets sort of like a big screen view of what you're doing, and so the crowd dies down, and then.
Sorry, I was just thinking about this fucked up looking tiefling up there just being like on this giant orb in the sky. Just...
What do you mean? Have you ever seen Metafix's Big City Life? It looks like that, but somehow more gangster.
But like not like looking like a tiefling at all.
Come on now.
Oliver, actually roll me a performance check. See how many people are like super into your little display.
I'm just trying to contact my boys, you know?
Yeah, well, I know, but yeah. I was just thinking about what that looks like in that giant orb in the sky.
It looked pretty fine. I assume it's like kind of a fisheye. I got 12 minus plus 1, 13.
Okay. Yeah, people, you notice that, like, people, some people sort of, like, let out chairs in time with your like motions. Like you put, yeah. Well, that to them it just looks like, you know, at like a sporting event
where you're doing kind of some kind of dance, like you're a cheerleader.
Guys, well, people rock back. Like,
rock up the crowd.
Everybody, crumpings, come back. It's cool again, finally.
I can't wait to find out what your dad thinks of you dancing.
My dad is very anti-dancing. If you've ever met my father, it's a lot like Dirty Dancing, the show, but he's less into 15-year-olds being fucked by 30-year-olds, which obviously means I can't bring any girls home.
Oh, yeah, Adam, the masked, armored man standing behind them, is Banfor's father.
Cool.
They were told that the champion is Banfor's father. They haven't been told that this man standing there is the champion.
Yeah, but so Marley doesn't know that.
Yeah, probably smart enough to put two and two together, though.
You shouldn't assume things of Marley.
Ellerin's always had a desire to be the champion, so he feels some resentment towards anyone labelled the champion.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So he's just standing there completely stoic during all of this, like hasn't moved an inch.
When did he show up?
In the portal with everyone else.
All right, missed that sentence. Never mind.
And then, so the crowd dies down, and then the Empress continues. These individuals beside me, and gestures to generally to the three of you, are members of this resistance. They seek to topple the Arkvale Empire. They seek to remove me as your Empress. And then again, the boos start up anew. It's a whole new, like, minute of boo, yeah, long live you, deal with the resistance.
Banfor waves and smiles.
Completely drowned out by the crowd. Ellerin just is kind of impotently yelling, I fight for no one.
And Marley is looking at the Empress with her arms crossed, with her crossbow still out, tapping her foot, being like, this is not what we agreed.
She just gives you like a cocky grin, as if to say, like, I make the rules, I decide how this goes down.
Mm-hmm. You're going to dance with the devil, don't assume you're going to pick the song.
Yeah, I don't have to kill her either.
And General Porton, who has been standing pretty stoically for the most part, he looks shocked and appalled, and he like looks over at you, and he points at you, and then he like almost yells. In fact, he does yell. He's basically screaming at the Empress. Empress, they insult you with their presence. They must be executed at once. And he draws his rapier from his belt of his like formal officer's uniform, and you can tell immediately he has no experience using it. Like, this is just decorative.
Can I like?
And he sort of
do anything in response to that?
If you want to, he's just holding it out facing you, not really knowing what to do about it, but it's just like a show of bravado.
Can I, like, Crown of Madness him? Just point my finger at him and just be like, he needs to do a wisdom save 16.
Okay. Yeah, that's a 13, so that's a fail.
Excellent.
Can I use sleight of hand to load my crossbow with the death arrow?
Fuck yeah. Yes, you can.
All right.
I'll give you advantage on that because there's a lot of things happening in this tight circle that people won't necessarily be watching your every move.
Okay.
So what I want to happen with the Crown of Madness is because it has to use its action before moving to make a melee attack against a creature other than itself that I choose, I want him to turn around and randomly try and attack the champion.
Oh, I love this. Okay, so he completely against his own will turns.
Clearly,
about face.
Like there's a crown suddenly on his head, and yeah. His eyes glow. Yeah.
Yeah, he just gets this vacant look on his face, and yeah, glowing plain white eyes with no pupil, and he just turns on the spot to the huge armored man behind him, and just wildly swings his rapier, and it just dings off the armor.
Yep. I'm like, that guy seems kind of nuts.
The Empress actually like interrupts, and she just says, stop being a fool, General. You've seen what these people can do. They'd tear you limb from limb.
He can't help it.
She doesn't know. She's like, especially Banfor here. And, like, gestures to the tall, kind of fucked up looking tiefling-ish guy.
Banfor waves and then with the other hand slaps the general across the face.
I won't even get you to roll for that. You just do. He's not paying attention to you. He just turned and slapped the champion. Oh,
yeah,
he's gonna
just
attack the champion.
Essentially, he keeps attacking the champion until my concentration gets broken, or he makes a wisdom save eventually. So he'll just keep going.
Right. Oh, okay, hang on. Yeah, that's a 16, so he's saved.
Okay, cool.
So the champion is basically standing there just taking it because it's nothing to him. It's just like slapping a lamppost. But when the Empress...
I meant it more as an insult, you know, like than a...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought you were trying to get the general killed.
No, well, that too. That would have been funny.
Yeah, when the Empress said that that they would tear the general limb, that you guys would tear the general limb from limb, especially Banfor, the champion's head tilts towards you, Banfor, and just sort of stands facing you. So he's just getting attacked by this completely ineffective rapier on his chest, and his head is just looking straight at you, but he's got a helm over his face, so you can't see what he looks like.
Banfor leans a hefty backhand into the general, and when he hits the ground just puts his boot on his neck just to keep him where he should be.
Nice.
And
I like
gives
it.
A small little half wave to the champion.
Okay, I like it. And then you hear grunted through the helm of,
"Is your name Banfor?"
Aye.
Banfor Graves?
No. Wrong one, mate, sorry.
Okay. He takes his helm off and he holds it like, you know, like holding a rugby ball under your arm. And what you see is an older human male, perhaps in his like maybe in his 60s, with like salt and pepper features, and he bears a striking resemblance to Banfor. He looks to all of you like Banfor plus 20 years.
Can Banfor take off his disguise?
Yeah. You could pull bits and pieces off enough. Yeah.
Banfor reaches up to either horn and just rips downwards.
Rub your face, because we think we painted it.
Yeah, so Banfor pulls off the external skin that he's disguised with.
Okay, yeah, I think even more so than like what you look like after removing the costume, more that the sort of the gesture of like, look at me disrobing to look how I'm supposed to look, that screams volumes in and of itself. And so you're standing there like removing this disguise, and then he tilts his head at you in confusion and sort of familiarity a little bit. And the Empress just says, "My, this certainly is something unexpected."
Is she still projecting?
Yeah. So that got like loudspeaker to everyone, but no one knows like what.
How close is she to Banfor?
10-15 feet, like general vicinity, but not like right up against you.
Banfor is increasingly feeling every word the Empress says prickling him. It feels very much like somebody from the outside trying to affect his world. And the more she speaks, the more angry he's becoming.
Okay. Good. I like that. That's good roleplay. And then she says something to Dreyfa again. Does anyone want to try and hear?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Roll perception.
Yes.
Don't even worry about it.
Natty one.
You okay? Neither of you here. He just nods.
Natural one is chaos curse.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yep.
Can you get? I was going to say, can you get chaos cursed for trying to listen? I suppose you can.
Any nat one is a chaos curse. Cool bananas. Roll me a d1. 41. Okay. Let me try and find
this
the
very
chaos.
Serious pivotal narrative scene.
Mm-hmm.
May end up with me being a tree.
I hope it does.
Or worse, like growing feathers or something dumb. Let's hope it's not one of the negative ones.
Attack the nearest person.
Yeah, like that kind of stuff, yeah.
I mean, I have got my boot on a dude's throat, so it would be that guy.
I suppose that's true.
Yeah, and he's wriggling, but it's nothing. Like, this is a weak man who's not used to fighting.
And he's got, you know, 300 pounds of not very happy on it.
Adam, what's Ellerin thinking during all of this?
I thought exactly.
Lost when I asked for that sleight of hand check. Did I succeed in that?
He got an 18.
What did you roll? Yeah, you successfully armed yourself with the death arrow without anyone noticing. So what did you get, Oliver? Cow's Curse?
41. What is it, Brad?
You know how you were talking about completely ruining the like the gravitas of this like important narrative scene?
Yes, I do.
You drop all of your belongings down on the ground.
Very good.
And sing a song about cheese. The player must sing a song in real life.
Well, have you ever had a howder? Have you ever gone to bed with a cheddar? Have you gotten nasty with a tasty? And would you like to see me coming on the floor? Well, I love a cheese. It's an easy breeze when I go down by the shore. What a time to be alive. The culture will thrive. A rhyme for sure.
What just happened?
There's a song about cheese, you fucks.
I don't know whether I love it or hate it. Like, that's how I feel right now.
Well, look. It's happened. So,
you're standing face to face in the middle of an arena with the father you've never met in your entire life, and you sing a song about cheese.
Well,
you've been outed to this 100,000 strong crowd as a member of the resistance and an enemy of the people. Porton, who is like still wriggling under your boot, just says, "Empress, someone tell me what's bloody going on here." And then she just turns and like laughs openly at you. She says, "Banfor, I haven't laughed like this in ages."
Banfor leans harder on Porton's neck. There is perhaps an audible pop.
Okay, he stops wriggling.
Good.
And she says, "Oh, that's probably a good move, Banfor. He would not have taken this whole thing lying down. No pun intended."
Looks like he's going to be taking it lying down for quite some time, isn't he? And Banfor, like stubbing out a cigarette, grinds his boot heel into General Porton's throat.
Okay. As you do, another portal opens up, and Drafer almost forcibly grabs the halfling woman and drags her through that portal, and then it closes. So, like, they're not there anymore. And then she booms to the crowd once again. She, like, this is like the loudest, like, this is the proclamation she's been wanting to make. "I, Empress Tajna, first of my name, hereby renounce the Empire. Depose General Porton as Regent of Bruss," gesturing to his corpse, "and reinstate Turat Shan to her rightful seat as Queen." And everyone is like, what? Like, there's rumbles of people not knowing whether to boo or yell. Like, it's just absolute confusion.
Marley yells at the top of her lungs, hoping anybody will hear her, "All hail Queen Shan!" Like, trying to get that started.
Okay. Banfor is furiously signaling to keep going with the coup.
Can I, like, roll performance on that or something?
Don't get a one. My only advice.
Well, I got a 13 and I have a plus 8, so it seems good.
Yeah, you definitely get heard, but I mean, it's very difficult against the roaring, rumbling sound of 100,000 very confused people.
I know, I was just trying to...
But some people do start, you hear that slowly rising and rising and rising amongst the crowd of like, yeah, like long live the queen or protect the queen or the queen is back, like different variations on that.
Mm-hmm.
And then she just, during that cacophony, she just turns to the three of you. And the champion is just standing there again, just stoic. He's just looking at you. He's not acting at all. And she says, whenever you're ready, heroes. Kill me.
Mali rises her crossbow and shoots. She feels like she should be the one to start it. You know what I mean? Being that she agreed to.
Yep. She stands still and your crossbow bolt just goes like straight into her chest. And it hits with this like thud.
And you mean she looks like thud, thud, because I hate them.
Thud, thud, yeah. Yeah, she looks hurt, but she's still like noticeably on her feet, and she just looks at you like, "What else have you got?"
Yeah, I know. I just really wanted to hit her with a crossbow. Are we in initiative order, or like,
no?
Do you just want us to go crazy? Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Alarin wants to take a shot with his crossbow at the champion, with the death arrow.
At the champion. Okay.
Yeah.
Pretty bad idea.
He hates the champion.
Why
is he resents the champion. He's always wanted to be the champion.
How close is Bamfor to Alarin?
You guys are all in a cluster.
Okay, let's see who's quicker on the draw. Let's find out.
Okay, initiative the between D20 the two off? Of you. Yeah, just an initiative between the two of you.
Okay.
Bamfor's intention is to essentially chokeslam Alarin.
Alarin?
21.
Okay.
Oh, Dios mio. That's a 16.
Okay, so Alarin acts first, so you can fire your bolt off at the champion.
Does the death arrow have any kind of, like, automatic hit or anything?
No. It just does whatever I said, an extra something-something to the damage.
Do you happen to remember what that extra something something was?
Yes, I've just had. I'm navigating between like 9 spreadsheets, so hang on.
His attack was 26.
Okay, well, that definitely manages to hit and pierce the armor. So it's an additional 2d10 necrotic damage on top of the regular damage.
2d10? Health take.
Okay. I've got 1d8 plus 2 plus 2d10 plus 2, right?
Yep. Oh, sorry, just plus 2d10.
Oh, just plus 2d10. Okay. an 8 for the first roll, a 7 for the next roll. Oh, no, hang on, I only got 1. So 8 plus 2, 10 there, and then it was 2d10?
Yep.
So 10 plus 4 plus 3. So 17.
Okay. So this bolt that you managed to fire straight through a crack in the champion's armor, completely unexpecting it. And it hurts. He screams this. Well, it's more of like a roar, like sort of like Banfor would let off, I guess. Funny that. Just yep. this roar of unexpected pain, and he pulls an axe off of his back. He pulls a big spear off of his back, and now he is armed and in the fray somehow. Even though this was meant to just be you guys killing the Empress.
Mali swings around her saxophone and looks at it for a second, wonders if this is going to cost her something, and starts playing. Initially, dun dun dun, and then it turns into dun 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 dun, just on her saxophone, as she's now going to take, hopefully, the next two turns.
Okay, so this is your song of doom.
Next after Elrond.
Well, it sounds like we should maybe be rolling initiative now. This was not meant to be a battle.
So
okay,
it's initiative between Marley and somebody who wants to die.
Mm-hmm.
Bamfor and somebody who wants to kill his dad that he doesn't really care about.
Mm-hmm.
The champion and the newest member of the podcast didn't expect to leave this episode, but probably will.
It's going to turn into one of those comedy things where Marley's trying to kill the Empress and it keeps getting hit with another weapon and it's not dead yet. And he's like, oh, no, I'm still here. And you're like, another weapon. Okay. Oh, no, I'm still here.
Okay, so that. I need to get straightened out what is happening here. So Elrond is fighting Torkin, the champion. Marley is your only versus the Empress?
Yeah, totally. I'm not paying any attention to what's happening around. In fact, I'm locked eyes with the Empress, like, pretty much the whole time.
So how weird is this? You're locked eyes with her and you're playing the saxophone at her.
Yep, and I'm playing her a sweet little dying song.
Cool, and just so I know how to measure this, Bamfor, which part of this are you taking?
Bamfor has got an axe blade incoming to Alarin's throat area.
Fuck.
What do you mean? I just met this guy.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. Understood, that makes sense.
It was going to be a cheeky throat punch, but now now that he really did some damage.
Hey, Adam, so Elrond, you ready to roll up a brand new character?
Yes.
Okay, so in that three-way fight, Elrond went and I just rolled initiative for Torkin, and it's now his turn. So he is going to lunge forward towards Elrond with a spear. And just wildly misses. He just, like, throws the spear forward. And he's obviously still reeling from having been hurt severely. And now Bamfor, I guess, is acting.
Places, three axe attacks into Elrond.
Shit. Okay.
Holy shit, man.
So
this is nuts.
Plus six. So
I wish Marley was watching this.
It's an 11, a 16, and a 21.
Adam, did any of those hit?
My armor class is 18, so no.
21 hits.
Oh, sorry, I didn't hear that bit. Oh, I didn't hear that bit. Yeah, 21.
Ooh, isn't that fucking convenient? Cool. So the 21 does 1d12 plus 3. So that's 11 plus 3 plus 2. So 16 damage.
Fuck.
Absorbed.
Cool. And now, Marley, take your next turn versus the Empress.
I continue to play because, as my understanding is, it takes me two turns of actions to play.
Yep, yep.
And then she has to wisdom save?
Yes, she does. And I'm going to tell you it's an automatic save on her because you're doing necrotic damage.
Oh, of course.
And she's technically not alive.
Yeah, I didn't... Yeah, okay. Yep, that makes sense.
Yeah. She says to you as her turn is, she says, that's an interesting song, dear, but I don't have all day. Oh, and for what's coming next, you and your friends might need the champion. He's not your enemy. And now it's back around to Elrond.
Can I...
Elrond heaven.
As a bonus action, though, before my turn ends, because I'd get a bonus action, can I, like... Oh, fucking, I don't know. Bardic Inspiration Bamfor. But my Bardic Inspiration song is like, please don't kill each other, because we really need the champion with us, so can you cut it out? Here's an extra D6, but stop fucking around. Like, that's my Bardic Inspiration song.
Since that's technically cheating...
Hey, it says that can hear you. It doesn't say what the song has to be.
Okay. I'm allowing it. All I was going to say is I'm going to roll, get Bamfor to roll a...
That sounds like cheating, but I'll allow it.
Get Bamfor to roll
a... the dragons.
I'll get Bamfor to roll a wisdom save to see if he picks up on what you're saying.
Fair.
Well, it's not going to go well for anyone. That's a fair.
Fair.
That's an 8 straight off the bat. And what we're going to go ahead and do is take 1 off of that. So that's down to a 7.
Okay, so yeah. He does not get your hint that we need to stop fighting the gladiator.
Okay. He just hears, I need a hero in the background, and he goes, yeah, that's the inspiration song. And now it looks like I've tried to help him kill Ellerin. Yeah.
That's the song Marley says, sings when I need to do murders.
Yeah.
And look, I'm right in the middle of one.
And now it's Ellerin's turn.
Ellerin attacked the champion out of confusion. Out of the fact that
don't try and walk it back now.
Ellerin is a fighting machine. This is like all he's ever done. So from Ellerin's perspective, he's seen these two vaguely familiar characters, Bamfor and Marley, and then this kind of regal-looking, evil-looking sounding empress who's tried to frame him for fighting for a cause he doesn't fight for, and sees the champion as affiliated with her. So that's why he's attacked the champion.
And to be fair, he wouldn't know that we apparently need him, because that was news to Marley just then. So unless you heard that in the middle of your fighting, you wouldn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then having been attacked by Bamfor, his new mate, this only serves to make him even more confused. So Ellerin is going to try and defuse the situation by calling out to Bamfor, sort of, what the hell was that for? So I don't
want your turn.
Yeah, I don't want to take any action apart from a defensive sort of stance.
Defensive shout.
The classic defensive shout.
I'm going for defensive bands.
Ow! That X across my throat really smarts.
Torkin is
in action.
Yeah, he's still armed with his shield and his spear, and he's facing you, Ellerin, in a very defensive stance, and then just says,
I was under the impression I was supposed to fight with you.
Oops.
Probably to help us. Yeah, I can't say anything, but
well.
And the queen's quite gonna be, the empress is always gonna be quite hard to kill. We were always gonna need help.
Bamfor, sensing the cessation of hostilities, but still being somewhat hostile himself, lashes out with a strong overhand right into the facial region of Ellerin, as one of his attacks, just as a, hey, how about fuck you? We might be done, but we're not finished. And then we'll step over to the Empress scenario with his two remaining, or can I go act, move, act?
I would say you can do one swing with your axe sword and then move, and then, yeah, you could take a double swing with the axe sword after moving.
All right, I'm going to do a punch in the face and then move, and then do essentially an unarmed strike and an axe sword attack.
Can I attempt to dodge this punch, Brad, or am I reliant solely on armor class?
It's versus your AC.
Yeah, okay.
So we're going to go for punch in the face, which is a 13 plus 6 to hit, which is a 19.
That's a hit.
And you have an 18 for your AC, I believe.
Yep, yep, that's it.
Cool, so you get punched right in the fucking head.
It was like 4 damage or something, isn't it?
You'd be surprised, actually. Yeah, it's 4 damage.
Yep.
Good, all right. Bamfor then takes a step and will sweep her legs with his axe sword, and then bring it back up for a second attack. So it's 2 attacks, but the look of it is that he sweeps the leg with an axe and then hammers back down with an axe.
Yep, no, I get it.
I would like her to die badly. So that's a 15 and a 21.
Okay, so the 15 misses, and the second one hits. So you miss the sweep.
But the train coming the other way hits.
Yep.
Good. Okie dokie. And that is 1d12 plus 3 plus 2, so 1d12 plus 5.
Okay.
That's a 12. Fuck yeah, 17. Yep.
Cool. So, that's a massive hit. So describe how that, like, hits her. Describe the way... It
gets her right above the nose.
Oh, no.
The nose and the forehead.
They're like chopped a chunk out of her face.
Yeah, there is a loud click, and that is the sound of bones getting chunked.
Yeah, she stumbles back, and her face is like in reaction, and her face is just this battered, bruised, like bloody mess. And then she just spits onto the ground, and then she says, "You're going to have to do better than that."
Marley casts cloud of daggers around her.
Nice.
I'm like, it stays there, so sure.
Yeah. Does she have to roll anything?
Yeah. But it's if she enters it or starts her turn there. And it doesn't look like there's any kind of avoidance of it. It's just literally a 5-foot cube of spinning daggers.
Yep. Okay, yeah, and she's just standing in it for her turn. So, I mean, roll some damage.
It's not much, but it's permanent damage now every turn. So.
Yep. So she's just going to stand there and just keep taking damage.
Pretty much. 8, 10, 13.
Okay. Yep, so these daggers spin around and around her, and they just, like, slash at her skin, and her gown is getting torn to shreds. And then she just laughs and says, "This is more like what I had in mind." And now it's Ellerin.
Ellerin has something called the Ring of Jumping in his equipment.
Sorry, is that real?
It's real. It's from the player's handbook.
My Ring of Jumping. What's it for?
Jumping!
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 So he was kind of floored by Banfor smacking him in the mouth, and he realizes that he needs to reassess the situation. So as a bonus action, I'm going to slide my ring on, and that's going to allow me to triple my jumping distance, and I'm going to jump as far as I can away from this kind of clusterfuck to reassess the situation. Like a flea, like a human flea, just boinging away.
Okay, I like it. And that's all you want to do? Just get away?
Can I do a ready action after that?
Sure. I mean, what's the trigger?
I'm going to say the trigger is seeing the champion come towards me or raise an attack towards me.
Okay. And now it's the champion's turn. And he looks at his son, Banfor, who's just like brutally smacked the queen in the face with an axe, or the empress in the face with an axe. And then he says to you, "You got the killing in your blood. I knew you would. Knew you took after me and not your mother."
Are we having a conversation now, or are we in initiative order for conversation?
This is his turn. He's just saying that as he's sort of assessing what's happening to the empress. It looks like he's not going to stop you, but I don't think he wants to take part.
Alright. Banfor is still bent to his task, but here's his words.
Okay, it's your turn.
Banfor's turn.
Yes.
Good. Banfor will attack Omper thrice.
Okay.
Un, deux, trois. The first one is a 2. That's fucked. then it's a 21 and a nat 20.
Okay. Cool. Roll lots of damage to kill the Empress of Arkvale.
Okay, cool. So that's 2d12. So that's 16 plus 10, so 26. Do I get anything for that nat 20?
You get to roll the damage die twice.
Mm-hmm. Cool, so I'll roll that again. Plus another 15. So what did I have there? So I had 26, 30, 41 damage.
Okay, yeah, she is well and truly a dead woman. Describe the killing blows.
Bamfor essentially opens her up like a tin of sardines.
If he's standing in the 5-foot cube, he's also taking daggers, by the way.
Dang. He hits her with the flat of the axe and knocks her over onto her back, and then stands over her, hacks her down twice, and then once she stops moving, pulls her pants down and leaves her ass in the breeze, looking like a real fuckwit. Because nothing says dead like looking like a twat.
She's wearing a gown.
Bamfor pulls her dress up and smacks her dead butt.
And in doing so, you take how much damage from Marley's daggers?
Less than I care about.
It was 44. So I think I rolled 13.
Okay. Yeah, you take 13 damage from the spinning daggers.
44!
Yeah.
44
and... every time they start their turn in there, so it just keeps going, which is pretty sweet.
And yep. As you defile the corpse, or shame the corpse in that way, and the body just becomes just a body, you notice that it sort of dissolves into like light or energy, and then rises up into the sky like reverse rain, like droplets of energy shooting up into the sky as if falling up. And then there's just a shredded, torn, bloody gown on the ground.
Bamfor takes it and tucks it into his belt.
Marley calls out, "Dreyfer?" Just in case.
Yeah, you get no response. All you get is the champion just says,
"All right, you dealt with that. Now for the main event. I hope you're ready."
And there's this
boom, 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 boom,
like this like thumping, booming sound. And then this huge door opens in the eastern side of the arena, like quite far away from where you are. And but you can see it like a garage opening. And then
like a garage. You've really captured the majesty
it's
of the
like
situation.
A skyline garage.
Okay, yeah, like.
Like a double like, garage.
like a portcullis, a huge portcullis.
Yeah, that's sexier. That's more gladiator.
rises and rises and like leaving this big open dark gap in the side of the arena, and then charging out of it is this huge, like 30-foot tall gorilla with flaming red colored fur. And it just comes barreling at you like a bull. And that's the end of the episode.
Someone remind me to take a giant strength potion, which is on the floor currently, and also a health potion, which is on the floor currently also.
I was literally going to say, how are you? But yeah, sure. You could probably do that next session as well.
Yeah.
How are you? You're going to say, how are you?
Like as in, how much health does he have? Do I need to waste one of my second level spells curing him?
I use my turn to say...
Big angry monkey, how are you? How are you, mate? Haven't seen you in a while, Chief.
Just so you guys know, I used all my third level spells last time. I've only got 2 second level spells left and 3 first
level spells. Just use your spell on melee damage.
Huh?
No, it's okay, my dad's here.
Yeah, my melee doesn't work unless... Well, it does, but it's no good without the additions.
Yeah, what I love is that Marley just wasted her Song of Doom on the Empress, and Ellerin just...
die.
And Ellerin just wasted his Death Arrow on your new ally.
So, pretty cool all around.
I really regret using that Death Arrow.
I saw that you did when everyone turned on you, because obviously
It's a classic, I've misjudged the situation, haven't
it's
I?
It's crazy when you shoot a guy's dad, where he, like, gets pretty mad about it.
What a fucking pussy.
Ooh, what a fucking my dad.
Ooh. Oh, you should leave.
He tried to murder my father. Now I'm all upset about it.
Oh, my okay. name is Viggo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die.
We're all gonna okay. die next time.
Yay! Yeah, alright, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Alright.
Okay, so none of that went how I had planned. Like, none of it. But hey, at least General Porton is dead. And the Empress. Well, for now, anyway. There are so many questions left to answer. Will Banfor and his father, Torkin, reconcile? Will Marley get her unnamed favour from Gilliff somehow? Will the city of Stonemore, or the whole Arkvale Empire for that matter, implode into utter, utter chaos? I have no freaking idea at this point. Your guess is as good as mine. A big thank you to our Patreon supporters, Alex White Robinson, Person Who Wants to Stay Anonymous, Robert Baldino, Wyron Coochie, Laura Christine Goodwin, James Blyster, Sajay Hodgkins, Laura Douglas, Mel Ziggler, Roger Afamata, Sam Malcolm, Kydron Fast, Lauren Flake, and Kai Dearlove. Thank you for helping us make this podcast. We appreciate you a lot. If any other listeners want to find out how you can support the show, check out the reward tiers over at patreon.com/fateofison. And don't forget to hit us up on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at Fate of Ison for all of those, or email fateofison@gmail.com. Remember, we are having our big Q&A episode coming up at the end of this chapter, and that's going to happen real soon, so please chuck us some questions and we'll answer them on the air. Okay, see you later, everyone. Thanks for listening.
Sex, magic, space bags, and booze? Well, then you should check out Wheeler Woe. It's a
Pathfinder 2nd Edition.
Improv heavy.
Character-driven podcast, and we're proud members of the Necropodicon Network. You can find us and other great shows at necropodicon.com.
Hot damn!